Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Luke Morrow and Brandon Scott in for the guys here on this Football Friday. Figgy Fig on the steel wheels. Appreciate you hanging with us. 713-572-4610 to join the conversation. Didn't realize that Costco and Sam's Club was such a bitter rivalry. A lot of feedback on the text line about those two and why one's better than the other.
I don't think anything we've discussed over the past couple of days has gotten them going more than that.
I know it.
You can never predict it, man. What's going to really get the people going? It's that Sam's Costco rivalry, man.
It's true. So yesterday, you know, I know typically here on In the Loop, they do buy or sell on Thursdays. And because of the Astros breaking news, we bumped buy or sell. But I thought, you know, it'd be fun, and we had some good questions. Why not? Let's run through it on a Football Friday. The Texans aren't playing this weekend. Plus, there's plenty of Texans topics involved here. So why not do a little buy or sell here on this Friday instead? We'll change things up and run through some of the things.
Yeah,
some
why not?
Of these things.
Let's do it.
So let's do it. I will ask you guys a topic or a question. Obviously, you tell me if you're buying or selling. Number one, Joe Mixon has played his final game in a Texans uniform. Are you buying or selling that?
So I would like to sell that. I'd like to be optimistic enough to think that, hey, he's going to be back. You know, the time off will heal whatever it is that's wrong with him. But notice how I said whatever it is that's wrong with him, right? The mysterious nature of this, the mystery behind the injury, the unwillingness to talk about it for whatever reasons, or if you want to agree or justify it or whatever, it doesn't matter where you fall on it. It is the fact that they haven't said much about it. And then the most recent thing that we heard about it was we'll see how it is in a few weeks, not he'll be ready in a few weeks. It's like they're going to assess and decide if he'll be ready in a few weeks. And then by a few weeks, by the time a few weeks comes by, they'll be like 8 weeks into the season. You know what I mean? So yeah. I want to sell it, but I've got to buy that based off of the, if I'm selling it, it's just being an optimistic Texans fan. It's not being a realist. I want to be real with the audience, so I got to sell it.
Figgy, you buying or selling? Joe Mixon has played his last game in a Texans uniform.
Or I'm buying that, to be clear, because you said playing his last game.
He has played his last game.
So I will buy that.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to buy it too. I think he played his last game, and especially knowing how the running back position is. I'm not sure. He's a little older. Was he like 29 now, 28?
Yeah, it should be right at 30. He's older than 28.
30,
yeah,
about 30.
29 or 30, yeah.
Yeah, I could see them. Probably, hopefully, I've been saying it for the last couple of years. I could see them probably taking the running back position a little more serious and just kind of moving on from him, man, because this has been a really bizarre injury, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't even know exactly what it is, man, but if Willie Martz keep playing how he's playing, I could see them probably just moving on from him, man.
Yeah, and this would have been the age 29 season. Like, he's obviously already missed 5 games of it, but this would be he turned 29 in July. So if he doesn't play this year, then you're starting to talk about Joe Mixon on the other side of 30 and what right. that looks like and how you feel about it.
Yeah.
He's under contract for one more year after this year, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe, I mean, they've been kind of rolling a little weird too, so maybe they might keep him for that last year. But I'm not sure with this injury, man.
Yeah. I mean, even just having the injury, like even if they do keep him past this year, you're going to have your questions now. It's not like Joe Mixon's back. That solves everything. Like once he's gone for a certain amount of time and, you know, if you get some clarity on what the actual injury is, that depending on what that information is, that could concern you even more about his future here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to buy it. I think, for better or worse, unfortunately, Joe Mixon is done as a Texan. Topic number two, or question number two. In retaining Joe Espada and Dana Brown, the Astros have the right people in place to lead them back to a World Series. Are you buying or selling?
I'm going to reluctantly buy and hopefully not have buyer's remorse. Like, look, I think there are rightful questions about – I think I believe in Joe Espada way more right now, which is not where I would have said I was when they first kind of made this regime change. But the question with Dana Brown is still, like, can they build up the farm system and build through the draft the way the Astros are going to have to do? Because it's not that they don't spend money at all, but they're very, very selective about how they spend that dollar. It's not like they're going to go out, like Kyle Tucker's going to be on the market, right? Well, they already traded him. They're not interested in that. Alex Bregman's going to be on the market again, right, because he's going to opt out of his contract. There's a reason for that. He could have still been an Astro. So these are not the type of players they're going to be in the market for. So is Dana Brown drafting, and subsequently is the Dana Brown regime developing prospects in a way that's like true to the whole appeal of Dana Brown as former scout, like the scout GM, right? I still don't have a great answer for that. So I'll go ahead and buy this because I do believe in Joe Espada, but I am reluctant on this purchase.
Yeah, I think I'm going to kind of buy this too, man, because – I do feel like Dana Brown, I know he get criticized a lot, but I do feel like he be kind of cooking when it comes to trade deadline deals a little bit, just little pieces. Like, remember last year he got Kikuchi?
Yeah.
And I was sitting here, I was probably the one like, man, look at his ER. Why is you trading somebody like that, trade for somebody like that? And he was probably one of your best pitchers on the squad.
Got him paid. Ended up getting him paid for sure.
Yeah. So, I think I'm a buy. I think it's tough because you kind of question the talent on the squad if it could get you to the World Series. But I do feel like I feel like Joe Espada could probably get the squad to a World Series.
I'm going to sell my own question. I'm just not a Dana Brown guy. All due respect, Dana. I like Joe Espada more. I don't know if Joe Espada is really a World Series manager either, but I think nowadays in baseball, you don't have to be the top, like, Joe Torre, Tony La Russa type of guy. I don't know if Dana Brown could put together a World Series roster right now. Next one, buy or sell. The Texans will reach 10 wins again this season. They're 2-3 at the bye week. Do they get to 10 victories this year? Buy or sell.
I'm going to buy this, man, and this is part of me just sticking with my own prediction. I feel a lot better now than I did 2 weeks ago when they lost. If we had done this segment after that Jags game, oh my God, could I have told you how I'm not buying this at all, how they have no shot at it. It's a pitiful outfit. It's really bad. But now you're starting to see enough signs of, first of all, we know that it's a championship-level defense. Can the offense not screw it up? I don't know how great they're going to be. I don't know how elite of an offense is going to be. But I do believe in the quarterback. I do believe in some of the pieces, particularly their weapons. The offensive line is starting to look better. The offensive coordinator is getting more comfortable. I do think that they at least have the ingredients to do the thing that I said they were going to do at the beginning of the year. That's win 10 games. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to stick with it. Not going to be wishy-washy. But, boy, did it not look rough those first few weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to sell this. I think they're going to come up a little bit short. I think they probably going to get the 9 games just off the strength of looking who's around. Yeah. I think I really don't think the Colts going to come crashing down. I think they're going to be around. I think the Jags, hate to say it, but I think they probably going to be in the way a little bit too. So you probably going to have 3 teams in the division right there that's probably flirting with maybe 9 to 10 to 8 games. They're going to be flirting around that area. So I think just by default, I think they might come up short with
The question is kind of like, who are the Texans, right? Are they the team that lost to the Jags, or are they the team that you just saw, albeit against a skeleton crew of a Ravens team, but the way that looked? Are they that team, or are they the one from 2 weeks ago against the Jags? That'll kind of answer the question.
Can't wait to find out on Monday night against the Seahawks. I mean, you jump right back into it. I think we'll have some more clarity even right away, right out of the bye. Next topic, Reed Sheppard, buy or sell, will lead the Rockets in starts at point guard. What I really mean is, he'll get the most reps at point guard over Amen Thompson over anyone else on the roster, over anyone outside of the organization right now, because they might make a move midseason. Will Reed Sheppard have more plays at the point guard position than anybody else for a Rockets in a Rockets uniform this year? Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell this with the caveat of I think he's going to start games, and like in a traditional sense, you'll see him as the point guard. But the way it's actually going to play out on the court, I think Amen Thompson will be the much more ball dominant player, and you'll see him handle it plenty, and like have moments where he's like the point guard, and they're kind of alternating a little bit. But I think it's going to be a lot of Amen Thompson making the decisions with the ball in his hand and utilizing Reed Sheppard's shooting ability, scoring ability. So I'm going to sell this, but with the caveat of him actually being in the starting lineup, but actually kind of playing more of a shooting guard role, despite the body type difference.
I agree 100% with what you say. I'm selling it too. I think they're gonna look at Amen as the point guard, and even if they want to kind of go big a little bit and have Amen as the point guard, and maybe Reed come off the bench as the point guard,
yeah,
a little bit. But I think Amen, they're gonna try to have him as that point guard to kind of see how that works.
Yeah, their playmakers are Amen Thompson and Alperen Şengün. And obviously, right, Alperen Şengün is their center, but that's where a lot of the playmaking and the point guardy stuff is going to come from. The passing and setting up plays is going to come from those two guys. And Reed Sheppard, to his credit, is going to benefit from that as a shooter, but won't be viewing him as like the traditional point guard sense.
Yeah, I think I would sell as well. I'm in line with you guys. Figgy kind of already alluded to this or answered this, but the AFC South will finish as the best division in the AFC. Buy or sell? Are you buying or selling this hot start for the division?
I'm going to go ahead and sell that, because that will require the Jags to be taken more seriously than I'm willing to do. And that could just be the Texans fan in me. That could be the anti-Jags in me. But I'm going to go ahead and lean into who I am, and that is anti-Jags, and I refuse to believe. Now, I will admit, this Colts thing is bothering me. It is worrying me a little bit. You know, I asked Indy Kalu yesterday about, is he worried about the division? When I say I'm worried about the division, I'm worried about them figuring it out with Daniel Jones, because it seems like they have. You know, like, that doesn't look like fool's gold. That looks real to me. But to me, this would require Jacksonville to be better than what I think they actually are, with all due respect to what they just did against the Chiefs. So I'm going to go ahead and sell them being the best division in the AFC. I think, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and sell that.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it, man, because I'm looking at all these AFC divisions, and possibly the AFC East can be a little competitive. I mean, it's only two people. It's only two teams in the AFC East that's probably competing. But I'm looking around, man. I just think that one, the AFC South, going to be a little tougher than anyone expected, man, because the Colts, they're looking like they're good. The Jags, I'm not quite sure, but like I said, they gonna be in the way a little bit. They got a good win against the Chiefs, so and I think the Texans, I think they're picking up steam. So unless anybody feel like the Texans gonna fall flat and those last two wins didn't mean anything, I think it's gonna be a 3-man race, man.
Yeah, my instinct wants to tell me that the AFC West is the strongest team in the AFC. Because if the Chiefs are going to be the third best team, right, and the Broncos and the Chargers are legitimate, then that is kind of where I'm leaning. But I don't know. It's definitely a toss-up at this point. But conventional wisdom tells me Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, of course the Raiders are not serious. But that to me is a stronger 3-team fit, even though the numbers don't say that and the record doesn't say that. That's just my feeling.
But even when you look at the AFC West, I'm not sure what to think of the Broncos, man. I know they got a good defense and all that stuff. You got Sean Payton, but I'm not sure what to think of Bo Nix, man. I'm not sure if I should really take the, they. To me, they kind of remind me of the Jags a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I think higher of the Broncos than I do the Jags. Now, that could be just an anti-Jag sentiment.
Yeah.
The record obviously is in favor of the Jags. The Jags just beat the Texans a couple of weeks ago, but yeah. I'm believing more in Sean Payton and Bo Nix than I am Leon Cohen and Trevor Lawrence, despite the fact that they have looked better so far.
Yeah, I'm
with you guys in the sense that I don't think this division will fall off, but the AFC West just might have a better trio. Those teams might, the Chiefs might get it going, and the Broncos and Chargers are already there. Last one real quick. October is the best month of the year. Buy or sell?
Definitely in Houston. For like not even, this is not even close. This is the one I can say easily with my chest, most with my chest, is that October in Houston specifically is the best month of the year. Y'all see I got my hoodie on for the first time this season.
I know.
My best gear is my winter gear, but I only get to wear it for like 6 to 8 weeks or whatever it is. Yeah, man, give me October in Houston every time.
I agree, man. For everything you said, I'm buying that. Plus, it's my birthday month.
Ah, so there you go.
I'm totally fine with that.
That's right. I think October is the best because, like you said, weather-wise, it starts to cool down. It's nice. And then, obviously, sports. You have all the sports going on right now. Playoffs for baseball, NBA starts, NHL starts, NFL and college football are midseason. And then I love Halloween. So you get scary movies. You get candy this month. October, I think, is the best month out of the year. I'm all for it. That's Buy or Sell for this week here on In the Loop. Football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long by visiting ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming up next, we got Figgy's mixtape. Figgy, what's going on today?
Yeah, so I got to give an update to the people of Houston. A little traffic update just in case you travel on I-10 near downtown. It's going to be some big updates going on. Plus, Kendrick Perkins, remember I played him last week talking about C.J. Stroud. Well, he ain't backing down for what he said.
All right. Can't wait to hear it. We'll do it next. It's In the Loop.
Yes, it is.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the mixtape In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Friday. Happy Friday to everyone out there. So I just want to give an update to the people of Houston on what's going on as far as traffic. So if your normal commute is near I-10, kind of close to downtown, going into downtown, it will be a little worse starting in 2 weeks. So that's not a great thing. And here is Cron.com with the update.
Houston, here's what's about to ruin your commute. Starting October 24th, TxDOT is kicking off a massive construction phase on I-10 near downtown, cutting westbound lanes down to 2 between I-45 and Houston Avenue. That traffic switch will last through mid-2026 while crews build new elevated main lines over White Oak Bayou. And it's not just that stretch. Two big connector ramps are also shutting down. The I-45 southbound connector to I-10 westbound, including the HOV lane, will be completely closed until 2026. The I-10 eastbound connector to I-45 northbound stays closed through 2028.
It's going to be tough, man.
Yo, this is the reason why the best days for me, I'm at that age now, where the best days for me in my life are the ones where I don't have to leave my Missouri City, Sugar Land, Stafford bubble. Like, if the furthest I go from my Missouri City home is to somewhere in Sugar Land or somewhere in Stafford, that is a win for me because I don't want to deal with none of that. None of it.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. So I know it's a lot of people that travel I-10 to get to downtown and all that stuff. But, it's going to be a little more traffic, man. And I hate the whole cut down to 2 lanes, man.
Yeah.
That's the worst part about
it's
that
just,
clip.
It's just too many people. It's too big of a place. Too many people here to be cutting anything down. Anything that's a major thoroughfare to be cutting it down to 2 lanes is crazy. And what is the deal with us always having some construction? Nothing could ever just be fixed and finished and we'd be happy about it, right? We finish one thing, got to start another thing, got to remake the whole. Like, if you were to look at Houston when like people around our age started driving and what the highways looked like, 610 and 290 interchange and what that looked like then versus what it looks like now. Everything's got to be different. Always changing stuff. When can we just be happy? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because I think I've mentioned this on air before, but I remember having a conversation a few months ago with like an engineer and he works with the city and city planning and everything. He's not from here originally. And he said, that's the one thing about Houston is like it's always rebuilding and it's always trying to do new things. If you go to any city, there's always that old area of like what the city used to be.
Yeah.
And it's still there, that like kind of old town. But he's like, if you come to Houston, like when I first came here, I was asking people like, where can I go to see like the old part of town, the old Houston?
Can't.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, everything's just new or being rebuilt here. Or all these other older cities have these those areas that they still preserve with these, you know, here it's just always remaking.
Hey, I hate to say this. You know where you can go, Fig?
Where?
Go down there off of Kirby and look at that Astrodome.
Yeah.
That's right. they keeping that joint up.
That's the one relic. That's the one relic. And then it's just true. that grass that's there where Astroworld used to be. Just imagine a theme park. Used to be one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild, man. But so it's gonna be a little more crowded in a couple weeks. So just be on the lookout for that. As I continue on the mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. This is kind of Houston related, I guess, because this guy, I think he's an honorary Houstonian, but one Aubrey Graham, he go by the name of Drake. He had a lawsuit against his record label UMG, aka Universal, and you guys probably heard the song. If you watched the Super Bowl, you probably seen one Kendrick Lamar perform this song called "Not Like Us." I will not play it because I'm a little tired of the song, but Drake apparently sued UMG over this song, the song "Not Like Us" from Kendrick Lamar, and the lawsuit was dismissed. So he's not, he already took the L in the battle. Now he got another L in court.
Yeah, and that's got to be the worst. You want to talk about earlier our question today, what's the worst way that your team lost a game? This is a pretty bad way to lose, too, to take the L in the court of public opinion and then the actual courtroom.
You took a L in the streets and in court.
Not to mention the fact just him filing the lawsuit, like, you know, hip-hop's got this, you know, street mentality, sometimes this kind of rough exterior. Like, we don't settle our disputes in the courtroom, dog. Like, get in the booth and do your thing or just take your L, right? Yeah. If you got to do that. To be litigious, you know, hip-hop is not a litigious sport, if you will. So to go, if you do that, you better win. And he did not.
Yeah, it's almost like when someone tries to storm off to make a point or win the argument and then they end up like slipping or they do something to further embarrass themselves.
They fall in the pool or something.
Yeah, right? And it's similar here where like, yeah, this is just salt in the wound, insult to injury here.
Yeah, so he took two L's when it comes to this battle. I think people probably running up the song "Not Like Us," which I'm tired of hearing. But now people are like, oh, yeah, let's go play that song again. So I feel like this lawsuit kind of made it worse for him.
Yeah.
Because now "Not Like Us" is trending again.
Dude, it's like it's one of those beats now, too, that you hear in stadiums. Like, I'm listening to obviously this is the Dodgers. It's in L.A. and their organ is part of what they do in their in-game experience. But you cannot watch a Dodgers game now and not hear dun, 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 on the organ.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. It's like a part of sporting experiences.
They actually
now
played that song in the Dynamo, too. Kind of walking in the concourse.
It's a thing. It's a thing now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So happy trails to Drake for losing that lawsuit.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I got to get to this as we continue the mixtape in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Kendrick Perkins. So I played his comments about CJ Stroud last week. This was after the Titans game, after the 26-0 win over the Titans. And this was Kendrick Perkins. This is what he had to say last week after that win.
He's not that quarterback that's going to take the Texans and the Texans fan base to the promised land. He's not, bro. And you know this. How much film y'all watch on the quarterback?
Enough.
Huh?
Yeah.
A lot, right? So from his rookie season till now, has he went forward or backwards?
He regressed. Well,
Hold on. He's regressed. And the thing that I'm watching about him, he still can't throw to his left side. That's a problem. He still don't know how to scan the field when his first option is not there. That's another problem. So when I'm looking at it, is he your guy? No, he's not your guy.
Man.
That kind of shocked me. I ain't played the whole clip, but you could tell it seemed like he kind of had an in for the Texans. Because Lil Kiki was kind of praising them for getting their first win, and he was just kind of, from the beginning, was kind of put off a little bit. And then when he came with CJ can't throw to the left, like, dog, are you talking basketball?
Yeah. it's such bad commentary. It's so bad. And I don't know, like, he's talking about how much film y'all watch of the quarterback. That didn't sound like nobody on that. And look, with enough. All due respect to people that's not watching film, like, everybody doesn't have to be a film watcher to have intelligent conversations about football. But don't paint it that way. Like, I broke down the tape, and I determined that CJ Stroud can't throw left. That did not happen, okay? Kendrick Perkins has not broken down any tape, and there is no tape out there that suggests that CJ Stroud cannot throw to his left. I don't know what buddy is out there talking about.
I don't think Kendrick Perkins is very good on analyzing or breaking down basketball, his sport, so I don't know why I should even care what he has to say about football.
Yeah. This is what he had to say. So, you know, as we know, the Texans beat the Baltimore Ravens, beat the brakes off of them, 44-10. And they had him back on. And this was on Lil Kiki's podcast, Legend Talk, by the way. And Lil Kiki thought he was going to have to apologize to the city because he said some rough things last week. And they got another win, another big win. And he said he ain't apologizing for nothing. Here's Kendrick Perkins.
Look, the Texas fan base, if y'all thought I was going to come on here this week and say I apologize and all this, you got it wrong. And you think I give a damn? Listen, I got banned, okay? I got banned. I was supposed to get, you know, be on the field for ribbon cutting on the 28th. I get a message that says, hey, we saw your comments on Legend Talk about CJ Stroud and they're not happy, so you can't be part of the ceremony. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So really? Now you really under the radar. Now I'm really watching. You on the clock for real now.
That's actually sort of newsworthy. I don't know why they would have Kendrick Perkins in to begin with. I understand he's from Beaumont, which is not Houston. But, like, I don't know why he would have been a part of a ribbon cutting to begin with. But the fact that – I don't know how I feel about the Texans being sensitive enough about whatever he said to ban him from the – but to be fair, if you're going to be talking this, you know, hot stuff away from him, then don't come over here and try to be crude, right? I get that. But, yeah, no, you know what, we also don't care about what you're talking about because you're clearly not informed, Mr. Kendrick Perkins, right? Like, we don't need your apology because what you said at the time, forget about them beating the Ravens. What he said at the time when he said it sounded silly and uninformed. So we don't at that point, whether you apologize or double down, your credibility has been lost.
And I didn't even look at it as the Texans are mad at what he said. It was kind of like, all right, you know what? It might not be a good idea for you to be at our ribbon cutting after you were sitting here talking all this nonsense. It probably got people pissed off, fans pissed off.
Yeah.
So that, to me right there, that don't even make sense for to hear those comments and then be at the ribbon cutting supporting. At that point, it's just like, all right, man, you know what? This might not be the best idea to have you there.
Yeah.
A week after you were sitting there saying CJ Stroud ain't it.
Yeah, and look, shout out to the 409. I love the people of Beaumont and My mama's from out that way. But it ain't like he's one of Houston's finest. Bro, you from Beaumont. I don't even understand. I'm trying to figure out what the connection would be.
Yeah. Do we buy that story? Do you think he did actually get banned?
That's a weird story.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The ribbon cutting?
Yeah, what the ribbon cutting for what, first of all? Like, I know they'll have early November, they'll have the Ring of Honor thing for Janice McNair. But I don't know what the ribbon cutting would be for unless it's some kind of charity thing. You know, it could be that. But
yeah.
Yeah, no, I think everybody will be fine without Kendrick Perkins around and without his approval of C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I guess the Chronicles reached out to the Texans, and they have not responded yet on this matter. So we might get some answer. I don't know. I find it hard to believe, honestly, that based off of something he said on a podcast about a quarterback, which wasn't personal. Like, he was just talking about – he was giving his opinion on what he's seen on the field. He wasn't trying to go after his character or anything, that the Texans would then ban him from some sort of ceremony on the field.
Yeah, it seems a little petty.
Yeah. I feel like they dodged the bullet. I don't think nobody going to be shedding no tears that Kendrick Perkins is not there.
I could see them. I mean, they got relationships with Kiki, though, so I could see them being tapped into the podcast and kind of – and obviously these comments made their rounds, especially within the Texans fan base. But, I mean, what are we doing? What is the reason? What is the connection? We're good on you, Kendrick Perkins. No disrespect. And shout out to Beaumont and Ozan and all of that, but we're good.
Yeah. All right, I'll get you out of here on this. Thoughts and prayers and honestly a salute to the one and only Sister Jean. Sister Jean, we seen her during the Loyola University of Chicago during the NCAA tournament a couple years ago and all that stuff. And actually, she was making the headlines last week during this time because I had thought she passed away, but she had retired from her second job or whatever it was. She actually passed away. Was it last night? I think it was last night.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so at the age of 106 years old, she passed away. So special rest in peace.
Yeah,
Sister
man.
Sister Jean.
Yeah, Sister Jean. I do wonder, I'm always impressed by somebody living that long, but also wonder, like, how you feel at 100 plus? What's your body feel like? I mean, I'm 36. Every time I get out of this chair, I go, oh,
dude, she just retired last week, though.
That's what happens.
It might have been last week around this exact time because it popped up on the screen, and it looked like it was a rest in peace type of graphic.
Yeah.
And so it caught me off guard, and I'm like, oh, she's retiring.
Yeah.
So, man, rest in peace. That's a nice little run, man.
Yeah,
and she was still active.
Literally worked until the end, until the very end. Rest in peace to her.
That's what they say always happens, right? You retire, and then, unfortunately, it's the whole, like, body in motion stays in motion type of thing.
Yeah.
Once you retire, then, you know, things can go south sometimes. Yeah. Rest in peace to her. We would all be so lucky or so blessed to be able to live 106 years.
Yeah, man, God is good. That is amazing. Shout out to her, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thoughts and prayers to her family. Sister Jean passing away overnight. When we come back, it's a Friday staple. We always finish out the week here on In the Loop by drafting the weekend. And even though the Texans aren't playing this weekend, plenty of games worth tuning in. So we will draft the weekend when we come back. Plus, we'll catch up with the guys from The Drive who are out on location once again this football Friday. We'll do it next in The Loop. Fellas are out today. I'm Luke Morrow alongside Brandon Scott as we put a bow on this football Friday. And the week for In the Loop, we'll draft the weekend in just a moment and also catch up with the guys of The Drive. Clint and Ron are out at Boomer Jacks today in Katy from 2 to 6, of course, normal time slot for their show for a football Friday. So head on out there and hang with them at Boomer Jacks in Katy over at Grand West Boulevard in Katy. So swing by, hang out with them, start off the weekend with the fellas from The Drive. We'll say hello to them in a few moments.
Man, they're getting popular in Katy, man. They're getting real popular there. They've done, I'm forgetting the place that's right next to the Home Run dugout that we were at a couple of weeks ago. But say all that to say, man, you can almost always, whether it's Sugar Land or Katy, man, they're starting to corner that market a little bit, man.
I think the most important thing is they actually had those glasses out there today, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to say it's the In the Loop glasses.
Oh, okay. So, in the Loop glasses. Get you a glass
you
with Biggie and Reggie and John's silhouettes on them.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, for sure. Just another good reason to go out and say hello and hang out with them this afternoon and start off the weekend right. Let's draft said weekend. Now, Figgy, you're the only, let's say, regular of In the Loop that's here today, so I will allow you to draft first if you would like, or you could choose whatever draft position you want as we draft the most interesting games of the weekend.
Yeah, you just won the draft lottery over here, Phoebe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I'm down with that. And with my first pick in the 2020... No, I'm just playing.
Get the little chimes.
Yeah, I got to go with a little baseball, man. Detroit versus Seattle. That's going to be a good game, man. It's going to be very intense, and I have no dog in the fight. Kind of root for Detroit a little bit. I never cared for Detroit, but kind of rooting for A.J. Hinch a little bit, but mainly because I don't care for Seattle.
Yeah, honestly, that was probably going to be number one on my board, but then I thought maybe it's like sacrilegious to go baseball on a football Friday, and then you went number one overall. So
yeah,
there
that's
you go.
A very important game. Win or go home.
Absolutely. I love it.
I feel like we're all kind of in consensus here because I was going to draft them too.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like, look, it's obviously a football Friday. Texans happen to be in a bye week, and I was mentioning this earlier how peculiar of a sports week it's been for me with the football team on the bye week. The baseball team not being involved in the postseason for the first time in a decade. Mm-hmm. Of course, your basketball team just happens to have Kevin Durant now. That's kind of new, right? So it's just been a weird and different kind of week. But I am enjoying, and I didn't mention this in confessions. This would have been one of mine. I'm enjoying these playoffs. Like, I'm actually enjoying not having the Astros in it because, like, I have a different level of investment in it. There's just kind of a detachment from the result. And I get to just enjoy it. And it's been really fun. This series, right, is a really fun series between the Tigers and the Mariners. So I think that's a worthwhile number one overall pick. And I would even go into the weekend because it's win or go home for both series now between the Tigers and the Mariners. And then even going into Saturday between the Cubs and the Brewers, which has been a compelling series in its own right.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So Mariners, Tigers, first pick off the board. B. Scott, I'll let you go second. What are you taking?
All right. Well, let's kind of stick with the Seattle theme, right? And then let's get back to football a little bit,
okay.
Right?
Mm.
And I will draft Seattle at Jacksonville. I feel like this is the only noon game that I really care about. I understand the Colts are playing at noon as well. So, but I'm not really big on this noon slate, but this is what's going to keep me locked in, right? I do want to watch this game between Seattle and Jacksonville for obvious reasons. Jacksonville is a division opponent, not just that. They got a pretty good record, so you got to hunt them down. You also play them again this year. And Seattle is your next opponent, so you want to scout the opponent on a day and at a time when you normally play, Sunday at noon. Mm-hmm. You're not playing this week, so scout your opponent. That'll be the one that I draft. Pretty simple, but on a football Friday, let's look at the next opponent.
For sure. I get that. I think there's only three good matchups this Sunday in the NFL. That's one of them. I'll take another one. Sunday Night Football, Chiefs, Lions. Mm. That's – outside of the Texans element, that's the game I'm looking forward to the most. Chiefs are favored by 2.5 at home. The total is 53, despite being a Sunday night game. You know, the Chiefs offense hasn't been consistent throughout this year, and the Lions offense obviously at times has been a juggernaut again. So anyways, it's just a fun matchup in Kansas City. Goff hasn't been as good outdoors. Let's see what Mahomes and the Chiefs have, because if they lose that game, you know, now you're looking at 2-4 and a deeper hole. So meanwhile, the Lions will be 5-1 with a victory. It's hard for me to believe. I thought they would fall back this year. Yeah. So, anyways, that's my pick. I think it's the game of the weekend. Sunday Night Football for a reason. Lions Chiefs.
Yeah. So, my next pick is I'm going to switch over to college football. I got to go with Indiana and Oregon. Mm-hmm. So, I think that one, a little Big Ten action. It's still kind of weird to see Indiana be in the top premier football type of school. But I don't know. I think this one going to say a lot for Indiana if they can beat Oregon.
Yeah.
Because I think Oregon is one of the better teams in college right now. But if Indiana can knock them off, that's going to be very interesting, man.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's the big test for Indiana. You could look at it as a test for both of them.
Yeah.
If you give Indiana the proper respect. But Indiana more so because, again, it's just – hard imagining that Indiana has all of a sudden become this really good college football program, but over the last couple of years they are, and this will be a big step in that direction. I understand they were in the playoffs last year. This will be a big step in that direction. I feel like the game's got much greater implications than it did going into the season. So, I mean, I'm right there with you. I think this is for me, probably the college football game to watch.
Adam Spillane is smiling ear to ear right now, man, looking at this game.
Yeah. Indiana.
But Adam Spillane also known to be a Debbie Downer and negative.
He probably putting this game off. Oh, they're not going to win.
Oh, he's definitely me with the Red River rivalry. He's definitely me with Texas and Oklahoma, like not thinking that his team has a chance, even if they actually do.
I do think Indiana might be overmatched. We'll see. I hope it's a good game. I fear it might not be. I fear it might be a bit of a blowout. What's your second round pick, B. Scott?
All right, so since you went ahead and went with this one, I'll go with the other college football game that we talked about earlier in the show, and that's going to be Alabama and Missouri. The fact that I feel like Missouri has a legitimate chance to win this game and they have not beaten Alabama in 50 years, that history alone makes you think that they don't have a chance. But if you just look at the teams, look at Alabama kind of taking a step back and Missouri having one of its better seasons and having, again, like we talked about before, one of the better defenses in college football, I could see this being one of those storming the field, you know, beating Alabama for the first time in 50 years, storming the field, things go crazy out there in Missouri. I'm looking forward to what that scene looks like out at Memorial Stadium in Columbia.
That's, for me, the top game of the college football week, and I do think it'll be the best of those top 25 matchups. I mean, it is the smallest favorite, 2.5-point favorite, so yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to stick college football. I was considering doing the Cubs and Brewers do or die tomorrow night, because that's always fun, much like the Mariners tonight. But I'm going to stay in college football, and I am going to go Texas-Oklahoma, okay, which might be the low-hanging fruit, but I'm going to go with it. And part of it, too, is also kind of like, this is too harsh of a phrase, but almost like that car crash or train wreck that you can't look away. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I do want to see what you get out of Texas tomorrow in Arch Manning. However, I would also tell you, if I was a betting man, and I am, I would take Texas to win and cover the 1.5, because I know someone on the text line earlier said, Oklahoma is an underdog. Give me that every day. When something seems fishy, that's when you bet on it, right? When something seems a little like, what? People might be wondering, how is Texas? I know Oklahoma has the quarterback injury, but people might be wondering, like, how is Texas favored in this game? That's what Vegas wants you to ask as well. So you have to take Texas. Also, I do like when unranked teams are favorites against ranked teams. That's a profitable system as well. So I think Texas wins tomorrow. And any rivalry like this, I'm going to tune in every year, no matter what position these teams are in. I'm all in on that game tomorrow.
Man, your logic is sound, but you want to know what's fishy? I'll tell you what's really fishy. Texas. All right. I'm telling you that as somebody that watches Texas on a weekly basis, you want to know fishy. That's the fishy operation that you're watching. Don't have no explosive players. Like, this Livingstone kid is like their most explosive player. What is that about? The quarterback ain't nowhere near as good as they said he was. Offensive line is nowhere near as good as it's built to be. Like, the defense even, which I thought was supposed to be spectacular, not so much spectacular. Texas is fishy, man. I'll be reluctantly watching this game and shaking my head with my Texas t-shirt on.
It's got to at least be drafted. You got to tune in, whether you're a Texas, Oklahoma fan or just a college football fan. This is one of those games every year you always got to check out. That's our draft of the games this weekend without the Texans playing. Some other football games of interest to keep an eye on in both college and the NFL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.